Lew Irwin reports. Brought to you by New Instant Maxwell House, the coffee brewed from beans still warm from roasting.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Tonight, a new execution date for Carol Chessman. Dog days in divorce court. Plus my special story, a tiny club whose members are all dope addicts, shows the rest of the world that addiction can be cured. A new challenge for Carol Chessman, the red light bandit, first sentenced to death 11 years ago. Judge Herbert Walker today set a new execution date, October 23rd, after denying Chessman's request that he be permitted to appear in court to hear his sentence pronounced. Chessman's lawyer, A.L. Wirin, will appeal, asking the U.S. Supreme Court for a review of the entire case. Chessman originally was sentenced by the late Judge Charles Fricke. He evaded death a half dozen times, usually on arguments that the transcript of his first trial was not properly prepared. More news in a moment, but first this word from New Instant Maxwell House Coffee.
Still warm. From coffee beans still warm from roasting comes a great new coffee. The freshest tasting coffee you can buy. New Instant Maxwell House. The freshest tasting coffee because it's actually brewed from beans when they're still warm from roasting. Yes, when coffee beans are still warm, fresh from the roaster, this is the moment. The moment of perfect freshness, of perfect flavor. Now in the Instant Maxwell House coffee kitchens, that moment is captured for you. For new Instant Maxwell House is brewed, actually percolated from coffee beans when they're still warm from roasting. The result? New, fresher flavor buds. And that means a new coffee that's even fresher than you could ever brew at home. Coffee brewed from beans still warm from roasting. Wouldn't you like your coffee to be that fresh? Then reach for the fresh new coffee in the jar with the stars on top. New Instant Maxwell House.
No doubt about it, New Instant Maxwell House is the freshest tasting coffee you can buy. Firefighters today succeeded in carving a break around the disastrous Lake Elsinore fire that has swept 1,600 acres since flaring up over the weekend. Two men lost their lives and two dozen others were injured battling the flames. Conditions still are dangerous. Men remain on the line. Dog days in divorce court and a custody battle over a 9-year-old Dachshund named Cricket. Mrs. Mary Elizabeth Lieblich argued that her husband Ernest hid Cricket from her, knowing the dog was just like a child. Lieblich said he liked the dog too. The court granted Mrs. Lieblich a divorce, gave her custody of the dog, ordered Lieblich to move out of their San Marino home, but gave him permission to visit Cricket on weekends. A federal judge today denied a motion for an injunction against the House Un-American Activities Committee to prevent the release of names of 70 Los Angeles teachers called to testify before the committee next month. Judge William Mathis based his refusal on grounds that members of the committee, as members of Congress, are immune to suit. The district attorney's office has refused to issue a complaint against Private Eye Fred Otash, who was accused by Beverly Hills police of submitting false evidence in the fake robbery case of Furrier Al Teitelbaum. A hearing at West Covina tomorrow will determine whether 22-year-old Mrs. Carol Tregoff will be released from jail or will stand trial as an accomplice in the murder of Mrs. Barbara Finch. Mrs. Papa denies any part in the killing. The jury trying Mickey Cohen on assault charges has again been locked up for the night. Judge Paul Jones, noting that an earlier jury deadlock, advised the panel that he wanted a definite verdict of guilt or innocence. Los Angeles County supervisors today wound up hearings on new taxes, a series of meetings that ended generally with the supervisors going down the line in support of the county assessor's office and in opposition to irate taxpayers who objected to this year's tax bill. Remember that the supervisors, some of them, recently blasted plans for a new Civic Center cafeteria as extravagant. Well, the new eating place opened for business today, and it didn't look extravagant. It looked like any other cafeteria, in fact, even to the endless lines of customers inching their way forward for macaroni and cheese and roast beef. City Attorney Roger Arnberg ruled today that lawsuits questioning the validity of the Chavez Ravine baseball contract will not prevent the city from fulfilling terms of that contract in any way. Warm weather, according to the weatherman, high tomorrow near 84, with moderate eye irritation in central and foothill areas. My special story after this word from New Instant Maxwell House Coffee.
still warm. From coffee beans still warm from roasting comes a great new coffee, the freshest tasting coffee you can buy. New Instant Maxwell House, the freshest tasting coffee because it's actually brewed from beans when they're still warm from roasting. Yes, when coffee beans are still warm, fresh from the roaster, this is the moment. The moment of perfect freshness, of perfect flavor. Now in the Instant Maxwell House coffee kitchens, that moment is captured for you. For new Instant Maxwell House is brewed, actually percolated from coffee beans when they're still warm from roasting. The result? New, fresher flavor buds. And that means a new coffee that's even fresher than you could ever brew at home. Coffee brewed from beans still warm from roasting. Wouldn't you like your coffee to be that fresh? Then reach for the fresh new coffee in the jar with the stars on top. New Instant Maxwell House.
Next time you go to your grocer's, reach for the new Instant Maxwell House. It's the freshest tasting coffee you can buy. The world of the drug addict is empty and small. There is just the space between one fix and another. There is just the friendship of nothingness. The addict lives to dream and dreams to live. That is the flimsy fabric of his existence. But the addict never quite discovers his dream and hence never quite steps into life. He tries. He resolves to break the back of a monkey, but the monkey has a firm hold on his back. He steals. He has another fix. He is arrested and jailed. He is punished for his disease. What's the use, he asks. And even in jail, he can find another fix. State institutions, churches, fraternal organizations, jails, they have all tried to find an antidote to narcotics and have failed. Now comes a small group in Santa Monica called Synonym, which claims to cure one out of three addicts, a remarkable record compared with a 1 out of 100 statistic of the federal hospitals. There is not a single doctor here. The paintings on the walls are the work of addicts, past and present. TCL, Tender Loving Care, is the only medicine dispensed. In its 1 year of existence, this group, composed entirely of drug addicts and alcoholics, has received worldwide attention. During the year, however, it has had no wide support, official or unofficial, but some prominent figures in the community have been intrigued by Synonym's work. Among them, Dr. Victor Lanz, staff surgeon of Cedars of Lebanon Hospital.
Well, the addict, as far as the federal authorities, has been one of criminology. I suspect that to consider the addict a criminal, to start with, is wrong. The addict primarily is a mental health problem, if I can use such an expression. It's been used quite frequently of recent date. He certainly is not a criminology problem. Further, the addict represents something peculiar in that perhaps a lot of his problems are intensified by incarceration rather than helped. And to incarcerate the addict and feel that you've done your duty to God and country and to society is a sheer, utter mistake.
Where is the answer to the problem, Doctor?
I'm not totally sure of the answer, but I think that everyone at all levels of society must seek for an answer. There seems a gleam of hope in this Synonym experiment. There seems a modicum of success. And I think this has to be followed to its ultimate end, to prove or to demonstrate whether we can find some ultimate help for the addict.
Synonym's founder, Chuck Dietrich, told me what happens when an addict enters the club.
Well, they give him what we call TLC, Tender Loving Care. They try to get him to drink eggnogs with a lot of Karo syrup in them because we feel, whether it's right or not, that this does some good. They'll give him hope. They'll keep him from flying to pieces. Of course, part of withdrawal symptoms are aches and pains in muscles and joints, and they have to be rubbed down and bathed. So on. It's a matter of a real feeling of more than sympathy that goes to the new person. It's an empathy, because he's surrounded by people who have been where he is, know what he's going through, and are doing everything they can with philosophy, love, if you want to call it that, to help him through his first pain.
I asked Dietrich why Synonym has been successful.
I think that we as a group have been successful up to this point in this experiment, this ray of hope, because of the fact that we do not believe that a narcotic addict is hopeless. We do not believe that once an addict, always an addict. This opinion seems to be far too prevalent in our culture, owing to movie conditioning and so on. We don't believe this. We also feel that one of the very important things in this therapy is the fact that the door swings both ways. A person coming in here has to build his own prison. It's not a matter of being confined. He has to make a decision that he himself will stay, and he has to continue living on that decision.
An addict named Dave told me how even the law cannot accept the concept of Synonym.
Yes, I after my last felony, it was a condition of my probation that I not associate with known drug addicts. And because of the situation here, living with 40-some-odd other drug addicts, I got violated by my probation officer.
What happened after that?
Well, because I refused to leave the place like he asked me to, because I felt that it was a matter of life and death to me, and because of the condition of this probation, he had to take me to court on a violation and go before a judge.
What did he say to you?
The judge?
No, the probation officer.
Oh, he told me that he couldn't understand how this could be of any help to me, associating with other drug addicts and not being out living a normal life, which he didn't realize I was incapable of doing at the time.
And what did the judge say?
Well, the judge listened to what I had to say and listened to and read the report that the probation officer had made, and realized that I was clean now for the first time that he'd ever seen me, this one particular judge.
And how many times had he seen you?
That was the third time.
And what kind of a problem does Dave face that the law has not been able to comprehend? Dr. Lanz.
It's not a moral problem. It's a health problem, and primarily a mental health problem. In fact, so much so that a recent report, the result of 5 years' intensive study by Canadian authorities, states that dope addiction is a communicable disease acquired at a social level, and the only way to cure it is at a social level. On a social plane, man's greatest need seems to be to overcome his separateness or loneliness. And as far as the dope addict is concerned, his need is 1,000 times greater than the ordinary person, because he's totally ostracized from society and from his immediate family.
Tomorrow we shall see just what sort of a disease narcotics addiction is. We shall talk to two boys, one who has just entered Synonym and another who has just graduated. I'll be back after this message.
Enjoy the exciting life and legend of Wyatt Earp every week on ABC.
And they dig a grave for Ben Thompson tomorrow night at 8:30.
Until tomorrow, good evening.
Lou Irwin Reports has been brought to you by New Instant Maxwell House, the coffee brewed...